It says in Mark, the second chapter in the first verse, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. I like that. He preached the word. This is Jesus. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Then Jesus saw their faith. He said unto the sick of palsy, I like this, son. Some of you say, God, you don't even know where I'm at. And he says, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Lord God, I ask you right now that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, that you would speak today, oh God, that there would be a moving of your spirit, Lord. Lord, that you would touch us, oh God, that we would leave this place different than whence we came. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. You may be seated this morning. We celebrate this weekend as a Memorial Day. Memorial Day is a time that we set aside to celebrate and to mourn the men that have gone before us, that have sacrificed their lives so that we can have what we have today. They wanted to go to college. They wanted to start businesses and have careers. They wanted to raise a family and to get married and to grow old. But they gave of themselves so that we could have what we have today. The people that are the most important to you in your life are the people that have given the most. They're the people that have tried, they've worked, they've invested, they've done everything that they can to try to put into our lives, that have tried to help us, parents, brothers, sisters, families, loved ones, people that have mentored, people that have invested into us, these people that care about us, people that pray for us when we don't ask them to, people that love us when we are sometimes unlovable, people that have patience with us even when we possibly shouldn't deserve any patience or love or kindness at all. His story starts with Jesus coming back to Capernaum. Most theologians believe that the house that they went into, in one place in Scripture, it calls it the house. It was probably the Apostle Peter's house. It was his house. It was where he lived, and the church began to gather together there. People begin to come. They heard noised abroad that Jesus was going to be in town and that he was preaching. And they understood that he was the great physician. They understood that he was the great teacher. They understood that he had power. They understood that he was anointed. There was something powerful about this Jesus. As he said things like Matthew 11 and 28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It was these kind of things that drew people to Jesus. The miracles, the signs, and the wonders. You read in Luke 4 and 40 where it says, now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them. I love that. On every one of them, when Jesus is in the house, anything is possible. You don't have to leave the same way that you came in. And he healed them. It's Matthew 15 and 30 that says, "And the great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame and blind and dumb and maimed, and many others, and it says, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak and the maimed to be whole and the lame to walk and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel." They glorified this Jesus, God robed in flesh, that was in their presence. The man that brought the demoniac boy to them, that he could not even remember a time when his son was not full of demons. And he said, "Help thou my unbelief." We read of the dumb man that was possessed with devils. Dumb has nothing to do with his mind. It had everything to do with his availability to speak and to make words. In Matthew 9 and 32, "And they went out, and behold, they brought to them the dumb man possessed with devils." And Jesus not only delivered him from that, but he healed him also. They brought these men to Jesus. It's Andrew that had a spirit upon him. That Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. Andrew brought the boy with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes to Jesus. It was Andrew that brought the Greeks, the Gentiles, into the presence of Jesus. There's something about somebody that is wanting to bring somebody else into the presence of an almighty, awesome God. There's something about somebody that says, "I want to go beyond myself and I want to bring you into his presence." You look at the story that we've read this morning, it says that there were 4 men. It says that this man with a palsy was born by 4. Born by 4. That word born, B-O-R-N-E, literally means to be carried, to be lifted up. They picked him up and they moved him from where he was to where Jesus was. We've got to understand that this disease of the palsy was not just some kind of simple thing. It wasn't just the shakes. It wasn't just a little trouble. What happened is he was when the disease had completely taken over, they were rendered completely helpless. They would literally freeze up. Their body would seize up. And in the position they were in, a lot of times they would seize into a fetal position, into a position where you couldn't even stretch them out. You couldn't even hardly move them. But it was almost like rigor mortis had set in, and they would literally be frozen. And it was hard to even move their limbs. They couldn't talk. They couldn't communicate. They had all of these issues that were going on with them. And they were completely helpless. That's the kind of world that we live in, church. We encounter people every day that have found themselves in a completely helpless situation. We encounter people every day on their jobs. They might have the same education as you. They might live in a home next to you. They might have the same abilities as you and the same bank accounts as you. But there's something about what's going on in their world that it doesn't matter what they read. It doesn't matter the kind of help they have. It doesn't matter what goes on around them. They have found them help themselves helpless to the circumstances that are going on in their lives. These 4 men came, and this friend of theirs, they loaded him onto a mattress, the scripture says, onto a cot, and these 4 men picked him up and they begin to carry him through the streets. We think to ourselves, I wish I had 4 friends like that. The question is how many people are you friends like that too? I've always been told to have friends, you must first yet be friendly. And this man evidently had people in his life that he had impacted, people that he had encountered, people that for some reason they saw him and they had compassion upon him. I have no idea the relationship between these men. I have no idea what was going on with them. But these 4 men became into unity in one mind in one accord. I don't know how they decided. I don't know how they got together. There wasn't text messaging. There wasn't a Twitter page. There wasn't Facebook. But they all heard that Jesus was coming. They must have talked beforehand. They must have known that if this Jesus ever shows up, that we're going to meet together, that we're going to go over to Sam's house and we're going to get him. We're going to load him up and we're going to take him in to the presence of Jesus. The church was already full, so they were late. One of them might have showed up late that day. He couldn't get off work in time. He'd forgotten the agreement that they had made. I don't know why they were late. I don't understand why they were late to the party. Perhaps it was the burden that they carried that they had to get through the streets, and it wasn't as easy as everybody else that could move and shuffle their way through the crowds. These men were unified, though. If one of them would have showed up, there is no possible way they could have ever gotten that man to the feet of Jesus. If two of them would have showed up, possibly they could have made it, but how the service could have been over before they were able to carry this man into the presence of Jesus. Three of them would have been an odd number. It was possibly doable, but the scripture says that he was born by four. There's something powerful that when we get together and we begin to unify and say, you are my brother and I will carry your burden. I will be there with you. I will go beyond myself. There are other things that I could be doing. There are other things that I could be praying about. There are other places that I could be. But there's something powerful when we look at the story of these four men. There are things that stand out about them, even though we don't know their names, we don't know where they live, we don't know, we know they were from Capernaum, but there's nothing that stands out about them, but we know that they were unified. We know that they were selfless. Now that's a big word in our day and time, that word selfless. We can go to church and get in the presence of Jesus and see something awesome. Wait a minute, we've got somebody else that we need to bring. We've got somebody that needs to get into the presence of an almighty God. If he can get into a worship service like we had this morning, he could get the strength that he needs to make it. He could be touched. He could be delivered. We've got to make sure that we get him into the presence of God. They were unified. They were selfless and they were willing to carry somebody else's burden. They were willing to load that burden up and say, you know what, I'll carry somebody else's burden this morning. I'll pray for somebody when they can't pray for themselves. I'll carry the situation that is going on, even though it might add heaviness to my life. See, sometimes we don't want to get involved in anybody else's lives because of the heaviness that comes with it. You can just deal with them for 15 minutes and that heaviness can be in your life. And you're like, I don't want any part of that. I don't want that in my life. I don't want it anywhere around me. And that's all well and good. I get it. I understand it. But the Bible also calls us to be burden bearers. That there's some people, they can't carry that load all by themselves. And there's got to be somebody that says, I'm willing to carry this with you. I'm willing to pray with you about this. I'm willing to hold your hands up in this situation. I'm willing to go before God in areas and places that you cannot go all by yourself right now. They were unified, they were selfless, and they were willing to carry that burden. These men, not only when they got there, they begin to look around, they begin to see what was going on, and there was no way to get to the feet of Jesus. They were persistent. See, we've got to understand that it's not always going to happen on our timetable. It's not always going to happen when we want it to. There are things that we're just going to have to make up our minds that I'm going to be persistent. I'm going to keep showing up even when I haven't gotten my miracle. I'm going to keep praying for them even though they're not delivered yet. I'm going to keep worshiping God even though it doesn't all make sense right now. I'm just going to keep being persistent in my walk with God. They tried one window. They tried the back door. They tried the front door. They couldn't get in. So what did they do? The scripture says they got the man on top of the roof. Born by four. Four people that came together, four people that made up their mind that they were going to get this man into the presence of God. There's something about it when we unify, when we come together, when we begin to make up our minds, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing in the kingdom of God. Oh, I want so-and-so if they'll just take care of it. Oh, if so-and-so will do this, if so-and-so will take care of that. But there's something powerful when we begin to lock arms and we begin to move together and we begin to join hands and say, you know what, I want to be a part of the burden bearing. I want to be a part of the pillar. I want to be a part of what's going on. I want to carry what it is that God is. There's something powerful about people that'll say, hey, I'm going to get you into the presence of God no matter what it takes. I'm going to get you into his presence. If I got to get you on the roof, if I've got to get you to a place that nobody else will, I'll do whatever it takes to get you into the presence of God. I imagine when they begin to tear that roof off, if it really was the Apostle Peter's house, can you imagine what he had to say about that? This is the guy that would take swords out and try to chop people's heads off in the middle of a prayer meeting, you know. I mean, this is the guy that would holler and scream and say, I'd die with you. And he was, boy, I imagine. Now, I can imagine how some of y'all would act if you looked up. I had a water leak in my office, and, man, I was all stirred up about it. And that was just water. I can't imagine if I saw a hand come through the roof. And we'd be going home to get the shotgun, and we'd fix this leak real quick, real fast, and in a hurry. And so a hand coming through his roof, and he looks up, and all of a sudden, everything is over in church. It's done. There was four kinds of people in that service that day. There was the comes that just, the ones that just came, because that's what you do. They just came and showed up. Luke tells the story in Luke 5, and Luke 5 is an interesting book. I like it because, first of all, Jesus deals with a demoniac, and then Jesus, after that, turns and he deals with a leper, and after he deals with the leper, he deals with the man of palsy. I believe it's in 5 and 17, and after he deals with the man of palsy, he was fully prepared to deal with the tax collector after that, and so he had to work his way up from a demonic to a leper to a man with palsy to the IRS. And but so in Luke, the 5th chapter in the 17th verse, it begins to talk about how that the presence of the Lord was there to heal somebody, that his presence was in the place, that God was there and God wanted to do something supernatural, but nothing had happened up to that moment. There were people that were there that showed up just to see. There were the seers, the one that just wanted to watch, that just wanted to be a part. They didn't bring anything. They didn't take away. There were people there, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that they showed up from all over the place to judge. They were going to find out. They were going to look for everything that was wrong, every note that was missed, everything that wasn't right, everything that wasn't good, what could have been better, what could have been worse. And they were there. And then you had this hungry man. You had this man that couldn't get there all by himself. You had this man of the palsy that was frozen up, this man that had no way of being able to get into the presence of God all by himself. That's what's so beautiful about what happened this morning. If there was somebody in this place that couldn't get into the presence of God all by themselves, when we gather together and we begin to worship and we begin to sing, there's something like the windows of heaven open. And when you're not strong enough to get there by yourself, you've got brothers and sisters that can help you usher in into the presence of an almighty, awesome God. And they lower this man down. I imagine everybody's sitting there now. They're waiting. Is he going to fall out? Is he not going to fall out? What's wrong with him? Who's up there? What's going on? I mean, the service is over. Everything is shut down. And these men begin to lower this man in front of Jesus. They were yelled at. They were told to stop, I'm sure. They were saying, you're interrupting. You're destroying my house. Peter was probably looking for the sword somewhere, and he was ready to chop ears off. And all of a sudden, here he is, and he lowers this man down at the feet of Jesus. And the scripture says he saw their faith. He saw the men that brought him into the presence, his presence. He saw their faith. Now, in order for this man to be forgiven, There's something awesome about worship, like what happened today when his presence comes close. There is something inside of us that we feel so small, and it's like, God, forgive me. God, you are so great. God, you are so awesome. I have found myself that when I am in a prayer room, in a prayer meeting, and I find myself in the King of Kings, it feels like he walks in. When something changes in the atmosphere, I find myself, even though I've repented already before in the beginning, I find myself, God, forgive me. I just feel so small in the presence of this God. I just feel so unworthy in the presence of this almighty, awesome God that's a creator of the universe. And I imagine as this man who could not talk, this man who could not function, this man that laid at the feet of Jesus, as Jesus looked at him, there was something inside that was hungry. There was something inside that had brought him to that place. There was something inside that had convinced the other man that that's where he needed to be. There was something inside that even if he couldn't utter the words at that moment in time, even if it was just a mumble, he must have been saying, God, forgive me. God, I'm sorry. God, I feel something I've never felt. I'm in the presence of something where I've never been before. God, forgive me. God, I'm sorry, because Jesus looks at him and says, son, thy sins are forgiven. I imagine those men that just carried him all the way across town, ripped the roof off, and are sitting up there looking, and they're like, hey, no, he's got palsy. He can't walk. Let's deal with that. Let's talk about the real issue of why we brought him here. Look at his legs. Take care of that situation. But see, we've got to understand, Jesus said, we're going to take care of what's most important first and foremost. We'll get to the healing. We'll get to the restoration. We'll get to all of the stuff that's wrong in his life. But first and foremost, we've got to deal with the sin. Son, thou are forgiven. Son, thou art forgiven. There's something powerful about these men that brought him and dropped him down at the feet of Jesus, because they had faith. They didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but they believed that something would happen. There's something powerful about when you show up with an expectancy that God is going to be there. There's something powerful about saying, I'm not planning on bringing this guy back up, but I'm going to meet him at the front door when we walk out of this place. There's something powerful about saying, you know what? I brought him into this place sick, but we're going to leave healed. They walked into this room with problems, but they're going to leave delivered. We showed up with chains, but we're believing that we're going to leave without them. What does the scripture say? Eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. He's talking about what God is going to do in us and through us. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It doesn't take faith for us to go to work and do our jobs a lot of the time. There are people there that don't even know God that are doing the exact same job. It doesn't take faith to go and get an education. There are people there that are also getting the educations. That doesn't take a lot of faith to do those things. And God is saying, I've put something inside of you that's bigger than just a job or an education or something of those sorts. I've put something on the inside of you that you've never seen before. I've put something on the inside of you that you've never heard before. I feel you with my spirit. And when I talk about faith, I'm not talking about faith of just making it through another day of work. I'm talking about a faith that can heal, a faith that can deliver, a faith that can touch, a faith that can change every circumstance, a faith that eyes have not yet seen and ears have not yet heard. Oh, but I've never seen it before. And God says, that's where I operate. Oh, but it's never happened in my life. And God says, but that's where I operate. But they still look bound. But that's where I operate. You just keep showing up. You just keep being faithful. You just keep saying, I'm carrying this burden, and I'm believing that what I can't do all by myself, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon, is going to take care of everything else. There's something powerful about unity. We talked in Sunday school this morning about how that when the Romans asked Paul to pray, they wanted him to try to get rid of all of the pressure that they were under. And Paul said, I'm going to pray that you would bind together. Because there's something powerful about binding together. There's something powerful in the upper room when they were in one mind and one accord. And even the mother of Jesus walked into the upper room and she knelt down and she began to pray that this almighty, awesome God that robed himself in flesh would fill her full of his spirit. There's something powerful as they begin to pray. There was 500 that began the journey. There was 120 that made the journey, but they were unified in one mind and one accord. We'll carry the burden. We're willing to open up something that has never been done before. We're willing to go to places that nobody else will go because there is something powerful and awesome that's going to be birthed in us and through us. Why? Because it was born by four. It was born by men that would say, hey, I'll carry the load. I'll be a part of what's going on. I'll help usher in the presence of God. I'll be the one that prays. I'll be the one that gets you from where you are to where God wants you to be. Well, we'd love for you to have something awesome happen in your life, but we're just too busy. I've got pain in my own world. I've just got too much going on in my own life. There are some of us that God's wanting to do something supernatural in your life, but he's waiting for you to get over yourself before he does any son. You've got to say, you know what, even in the midst of all of everything that's going on in my world, I'm going to get a hold of somebody else's world, and I'm going to be a part of being a burden bearer. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now, Lord, that your spirit would move and flow in our church. Lord God, I'm so thankful from where we were to where we are now. I'm so thankful for the revival and the growth. I'm so thankful, God, for what you've done in our midst. But I'm more excited about what's going to happen in our future. God, I'm more excited about what tomorrow holds than yesterday holds. I'm excited about what you're going to do. I'm excited about the people that are going to be healed. I'm excited about the people that are going to be delivered. I'm excited about the people that their lives are going to be changed. I'm excited about the Bible studies. I'm excited about the baptisms. I'm excited about the people being filled full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm excited about our tomorrows. In order for us to get our tomorrows, we've got to bind together today. God, I want to be a burden bearer. God, I want to be a burden bearer. I thank God for every Sunday school teacher in this room. I thank God for every young man and young woman that's answering their call to ministry. I thank God for the people that stand in the foyer that bring people in. I thank God for the ushers that are taking a part. I thank God for the people that are witnessing. I thank God for the people that are praying behind closed doors that we'll never see them physically, but we feel what they do spiritually in this church. I thank God for the things that God is doing in this church. I thank God for the presence that we feel in this place. Last week, Brother Morgan, he preached it hard and he preached it straight. But when we went out to eat and I was taking him home, he began to tell me there is something in that church. There is something powerfully apostolic. I like what I felt, and God is doing something. I've been in churches all over the country, and I like what I feel that's going on in y'all's church in Moss Bluff. There's something that's about it. God's stirring. But we got to make up our minds. God, I want to be a part. I want to carry. God, I want to be a part of the burden. I want to carry what it is that you desire for me to carry in my life. I thank God for every person in this room that helps financially fix our vans, fix our air conditioners, getting signs out front, remodeling, fixing everything. Carry it. Taking those steps, fixing that baptistry, because We're believing that somebody's going to get baptized in Jesus' name this week. God, that your will and your way would be done in us and through us. As we all stand this morning, as we stand here on a Memorial Day weekend, God's saying, I need some people that will go beyond themselves. People that are willing to say, I'll take hold of something that's not mine. It's somebody else's. I'll keep showing up week after week, morning after morning, with my burden, even though it doesn't look like anything's going to happen. And I'm going to keep the faith in the midst of my trial, in the midst of the burden that I carry, in the midst of everything that is going on. I'm going to keep showing up believing. I'm going to keep showing up with expectation. I'm going to keep showing up realizing that this Sunday, something awesome is going to happen. That God's going to do something supernatural in this place. I'm going to keep showing up with faith. I'm going to keep stepping out. God didn't fill me full of His Spirit just for this. I'm going to reach out for something that I've never seen, something that I've never heard, something that I've never been a part of before. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Altars are open this morning. Is there anybody in this place? As we